Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. So much to get to on today's episode. We heard Kevin Warren and so many others talk about the stadium. We got to see some renderings of the stadium. Got to get a former Chicago Bears opinion on what it's going to be like seeing a possible new stadium in Chicago. And that's why we got Jason McKee on today's episode of the podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Also going to be welcoming in a very special guest. We'll tell you guys all about that when we get him on. He will be here soon, so hold on to your Bears hats, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot coming to you. But hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6 right off I-80-94. J-Mac, what's going on, my guy?
Pat, what's going on, man? One of my favorite days of the week. Get to talk Bears football. Obviously, we got a lot going on. Big day for the Bears tomorrow. Yeah, so it's been a busy time, man. High school is recruiting season, so these coaches are out and about, you know, trying to get their eyes on prospects, trying to find the next member to join their program, and we got a lot of kids deserving of that opportunity. Chicago Bears Stadium, you already mentioned it. I got my JD shirt on, man. I know my guy Jeff Dickerson would probably be smiling. He's smiling down right now, looking at the rendering of the stadium. And I would have loved to hear his insight about what he thinks about it. And, you know, this was his time of the year, the draft, you know, the stadium. He would have been all over it. One of the best to ever do it here in Chicago. So I said, I do not want to, you know, start this day off without saluting my guy, Jeff Dickerson, wearing his shirt today. So miss him dearly. And, you know, he taught me a lot. And you know, I think he'd be excited in the direction that the Bears are going and are going into right now.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot to look at, especially with how the Chicago Bears are moving. Of course, with the draft coming tomorrow, right? The belief, I think we're at a 99.999% chance that we're taking Caleb Williams first overall. So a new quarterback in town, new renderings for a new stadium for the Chicago Bears. We got a lot of new coming out. That new, as they like to say.
The new Bears. The new Bears.
I'm very excited, and I'm seeing a lot of, like, I get the back and forth, I get the tax stuff and all of that, but just at the basis of it, when you look at the renderings of the stadium, how they want to do it, how they want to keep the historical value, because we know that the pillars have lost their historical status, but the historical value of the pillars still around the stadium. As somebody who played in Soldier Field, no clue if we'll call this new Soldier Field or whatever it'll be, but what are your thoughts on the Bears, one, going to a dome, two, tearing down old Soldier to make an entirely new stadium?
Yeah, I mean, the renderings that came out, I thought they looked awesome. You know, I think it's long overdue, you know, having a stadium here that can facilitate more than just a football event. You need to be able to facilitate concerts like they talked about as well during the press conference, the, you know, Big Ten, March Madness, all of that stuff that you can, you know, enhance your earning potential. Something that we're not getting here in Chicago. We're getting passed over, and these different events are going elsewhere. So I like the fact that you can actually have a stadium that you could use throughout your entire year and bring different experiences here to the city of Chicago. I also like the fact that when they thought about this, I love the 14-acre recreational athletic fields, enabling, you know, the city of Chicago, a lot of schools in the public league in terms of high school, they don't have the facilities that a lot of schools like we have here in the suburbs. You know, they have to find places to have practices. They all play, you know, one stadium at a bar stadium, and that doesn't level the playing field for them. And I, you know, me being at a school where we have all of that, I do feel for those coaches, for those players, and for those schools not having the access and the resources that we have here. So I'm really thankful that they're going to have, you know, they'll be able to utilize that space. You know, I was also encouraged to hear that, you know, Kevin Warren talk about possibly having, you know, IHSA state football playoff games there as well, which would be huge, because right now the state playoff games are, you know, they're at U of I down in Champaign, or they're at, you know, NIU out in DeKalb, or I don't think they've had it at Illinois State yet, but it's cool that it's going to have multi-use. It's going to bring a lot of jobs to the city of Chicago, but it's also going to help, you know, facilitate some of the things I just talked about. But Yeah, as a former player playing in the in what would be called the, I guess, the old Soldier Field when a new one's done, you know, it does have it. It is gonna, you know, if they do tear that down or when they tear it down, you know, it will hurt a little bit because, you know, you're tearing down memories. You know, just I can just recall going to the stadium, you know, Sunday morning and, you know, being in the locker room with my teammates, getting ready for a game, running out of that stadium and that running out of the tunnel in that stadium. You know, so many memories, so many big victories there. The main one, you know, that I'll cherish forever is the NFC Championship game that we had against the Saints that, you know, led us to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, tearing down, you know, those type of memories that we created in that stadium with it not being there, it's going to be weird. But, you know, I understand, you know, things change. Time moves on. And I'm glad it's changing for the better. It'll be a better facility for the new crop of guys coming in, but also for the city of Chicago as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when I heard about the stadium, my biggest question, and I think most Chicagoans' biggest question, and I've said this many a time, where are these people going to park? Yeah. But I thought after watching it, right, and I know everybody, I did like a reaction video to the actual video itself, but after watching, I was getting the teeth done. Yeah, you got to make them look good, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Got to keep the mouth right. Hey, yo, that's crazy.
Easy.
Hey.
We can edit that.
We got to take that out. Jesus.
We can edit that, man. I was about to throw a flag on you, man. Like,
hey, sometimes you got to, dog. Sometimes you got to.
You're talking stadiums and parking. What are you talking about, man? Get back to the parking.
Personal foul. We got unsportsmanlike conduct. No, but I thought the way that she laid it out, talking about in different phases, how they're going to set things up. There'll be an improved interchange at 18th Street, which would become essentially 19th Street on Lakeshore Drive. They're also looking at an entrance to the campus from the south to tie into the south parking lot. So making some adjustments there. They have a double decking parking in the south parking lot. That could be a possibility as well. They're trying to add a litany of things to try and improve what I think a lot of Bears fans have said is the biggest issue with trying to get the Soldier Field. Nobody hates Soldier Field, right? Nobody sits there and goes, wow, this is the worst stadium of all time. Do I think that there are some things that when they redid it, they shouldn't have done? 110%. Taking out like 20,000 seats makes no sense. Why would we want more people to watch the Bears? You know what I mean? But the fact that they're taking into account what a lot of Bears fans have asked as far as questions, I do love the fact of that. I think that when you see kind of that Rosemont type center around it, like I don't know if people who I guess are outside of Chicagoland or outside of Illinois that listen to the pod have been to Rosemont, but like there's this center that's just like, hey, you can ice skate there. There's a football field during the summer. There's restaurants all around, movie theater. Like I see this as a massive version of that in downtown Chicago. That gets me excited. And no matter what, listen, winning football being attached to whatever project they build will make the project 10 times better. There's going to be people that are going to gripe about this the entire time, but having winning football there will make everything a lot easier. So continue to focus on the team, and I think that this stadium will sell itself.
Yeah, it's the overall experience, right? You're going to go experience the game, and you listen to that press conference. You hear Kevin Warren talk about, you know, the stadium resembling – yeah, it's somewhat like they have at SoFi, you know, Allegiant Stadium down there in Las Vegas. And, you know, I was at SoFi this year covering the game, and it's a tremendous stadium. You know, U.S. Bank as well in Minnesota. Like, it is like that stadium is amazing. And that was the first time I had been at that stadium because when we played the Vikings, they were in the old stadium. But when you go to that stadium, it's nice because it's right there in the city, you know, and then you go inside, but you feel like you're outside because of the roof and the lighting. And, you know, we talked about the material that the roof was going to be made out of. He said that it allows, you know, natural sunlight in. So you're going to have the indoor fit. You're going to have the indoor environment, but you're going to have the feel of being outside. So, you know, he also talked about, you know, having the opportunity to have concerts there. And he talked about him being at that Beyonce concert. And he said, hey, if it rained 15 minutes more, they would have had to cancel the concert. But when you look at it, like, I mean, the only thing for me as a former player, I think you're going to lose what Lovie Smith used to call as bear weather. And don't get me wrong, I'm a guy from Florida, so I hated bear weather because it was snow, rain, sleet, or whatever, the wind. Yeah. But I do feel like that does give you an advantage, especially when you're playing a dome team or you're playing a team that doesn't have to deal with the elements like you do on a consistent basis. And I know that helped us when we played the Saints in that NFC Championship game that I talked about when we started a pod. You know, the Saints, they play in the dome. And, you know, they came up here in that game. Remember, it was snowing out. The field was muddy. It was bad. And the Saints, they had a team that really relied on speed, really relied on timing in their passing game with Drew Brees. And I think that really the elements disrupted their offense because the timing was off, because those receivers, you know, they didn't have a great playing surface to plant their foot in the ground and get to where they wanted, where Drew Brees needed them to be in terms of their passing game. So I think you lose the overall advantage of weather. Yeah. I think the fans, you know, you're not going to see the fans out there with no shirts on and they're painted. They got their dad bod and they got the, you know, they got a Peanut Tillman's jersey painted on their chest or something like that. Or, you know, you're not going to see it. Well, you might see it, but it's not.
Listen, is that a bad thing for us? Is that bad? Yeah, I mean, like, is it? Yeah. I don't know if I want to see it. Like, I've been forced to see it, and it's like, oh, this guy, he's got it. But, like,
I mean, for the Bears fans, you know, who they have their whole layout in terms of what they're going to do all week. Oh, I'm going to do this at the Bears game, or I'm going to wear a Bears head with this hat, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's going to be snowing. It's going to be negative 10 below. Like, we're going to be there. We can say we were there. You're going to lose that feel. But at the same time, I think, you know, without a doubt, with the way things are trending in terms of stadiums, like, they're being used for more than just football. And the overall experience outside of the stadium is what's really drawing more fans in. And you talked about, you know, that was a great comparison you made, Pat, in terms of how it kind of resembles Rosemont. You know, in the wintertime, you can go to Rosemont, and I've been there, you can ice skate, you know. Yeah. Been there, you can go out, and Rosemont, they have concerts there. Like, everything surrounding, you know, that what they have at Rosemont is going to be similar to what we saw in the renderings of Soldier Field. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, I think it's going to be great. And you know, I know hopefully they can get it done, you know, rather quickly. I don't know when it'll be done. But I think it's the renderings that came out. And I know this has been a hot topic for us for a long time. It's good to see, you know, finally to have a visual of what we've been talking about for so long here in Chicago.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, it is not going to be a small project by any means. Yeah. This is a $5 billion proposal for this new stadium on the lakefront. It's going to be a lot of, I think about, my mind instantly goes to, of course, what's inside the stadium, but it instantly goes to if the Bears are able to compete for a Super Bowl that's in Chicago, or if the Bears are able to compete for a Super Bowl at any point. And you've got a stadium like that that you would assume is going to hold between 80,000 to 100,000 people in there. On top of that, Super Bowl time, all those things you just said, J-Mac, I don't know if you lose those elements because I'm selling tickets to be outside. I'm selling tickets to things that are, if you're in the playoffs, right? We saw when the Cubs won, everybody crowded around Wrigley. That's an opportunity. Or maybe you're not selling tickets, but if you can get a spot in there, we've got vending out there. We've got beers. We've got food. We've got all of this stuff. We've got warming tents so that when you do get to playoff times in Chicago, you want that feel. There's a massive property outside of the stadium. I think this turns the lakefront into one of the best properties. It blew the renderings, and I know all renderings look amazing, but the ideas behind it blew me away because all I could say was, you don't get that with Arlington.
No.
You don't get that view, that vibe, that feel with Arlington, at least to me, after seeing it.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point too. Like, when you talk about having an opportunity to may not get a ticket to go inside the stadium, but to get a ticket to be outside of, like, the watch party. When you look at, and you're a basketball guy, look at the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Back when they're in the playoffs, I mean, it seemed like people were having a better time outside than they were inside. And, you know, so having that opportunity to say, hey, you know what, I may not be inside the game, but I'm at the game because I got a ticket to experience the game on 14 beautiful acres of football fields or whatever. I'm a part of the watch party. Is a great opportunity to enhance the revenue that you can make in having the stadium and just recreating all that space down there on the lakefront. And I mean, I think the cool thing too is you still have an opportunity, right? If you own a boat, to be able to bring your boat and pull up to the game as well. Like, that's I mean, it's just, I mean, you look
I'm not a boat guy, but I may be buying a boat. I'm not going to lie.
You got to look like this, right? When you have the like the location of it in the renderings that we saw today, like, if you look at all the stadiums, right, in the league, I mean, there's not a better piece of property and a better layout, I could say, in terms of what we have right here. You know what I mean? SoFi is a great facility, but it's like, it's not near no water. It's like, it's downtown. U.S. Bank is right downtown. Like, you have this stadium is right on the lakefront. Cleveland's on the lakefront, but we've seen their stadium.
We've seen their lake, too. Yeah, that lake catch fire every now and then.
I think Kevin Warren, you know, he's beginning to show why the Bears wanted to bring him here, why he was the man to get this done. And I think the renderings, I think more so than not, you know, people's going to complain because that's what we do. We're going to talk about certain things. But I think overall, and I think the consensus will be that, you know, everybody's pleased with what they saw today coming out of that press conference.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and I guess I'll ask you this, right? From a football standpoint, is there a worry? Because you brought up bear weather, and to me, listen, I'm not a major believer in bear weather. I know it worked for us in New Orleans, but I don't think it worked for us again until the Rams came here to play. And that's like 15 years, J-Max. Like, I've seen two games of bear weather that I think really took a real effect. I've watched warm weather teams come here and kick our butts in the snow. Like, do you think that the Bears maybe lose that ability to play in those kind of environments? Because we saw what happened when Miami had to go play Kansas City in Kansas City. We saw what happens when teams have to go play the Bills in the snow. Some of these AFC teams, you are going to be in stadiums like that on your way, trying to get yourself in a position to make the playoffs, different things like that. If that's the case, do you want to still have an element of that? Or can you just get that by going out there and like, okay, we know we got the Saints coming up, or we got the Chiefs coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be snowing there. We're practicing outside.
Yeah, I think you're not going to be able to replicate the exact weather in terms of where you may be playing. So like Buffalo, right? Buffalo is going to get more snow than Chicago, right? And the temperature may be a little bit colder, but at the same time, you can come close to replicating what you're going to face on that Sunday. You know what I mean? And I think, you may lose some of that because, you know, you're not going to be able to replicate that exactly. But I think at the same time, having the opportunity to be able to go outside and say, it's going to be cold. This is what it's going to be like. Like, we can do that. Like Miami, when they played Kansas City last year, they couldn't replicate that. Like, you can turn the air conditioner up as high as you want, but guess what? It ain't gonna hit you like that Hawks gonna hit you when they went out there. I mean, that was abnormal because it was affecting the Kansas City Chiefs players and they lived there. You know what I'm saying? So you're not gonna be able to replicate the exact elements that you're gonna face on Sunday, but at least here in Chicago, we can come close to it because we're gonna get some of that, you know, that snow, that negative degree temperatures and stuff like that. So, you know, it is what it is. You got to be a pro and you got to adapt to the elements, no matter rain, sleet, snow, negative 10 degrees, 85 degrees with humidity. Like, that's your job to adapt. But, you know, I think that just having that stadium, you know, I know the guys will appreciate it. The players will appreciate it because, hey, you know what? Now I know for sure when I'm at home, I can go no sleeves and I can be fine. You know, I ain't got to fake it like I'm not cold. You know what I'm saying? It's no sleeves, and we're going to be fine regardless. So I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be cool.
You said you ain't got to fake it. You ain't got to sit there and be like, yeah, we tougher than y'all. I'm freezing, dog. Hey, look here, man.
No sleeves. All right, we had a rule. You couldn't wear sleeves. But I tell you what, though, man, I done been out there sometimes like, yo, I'm not even – I am cold. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what day. Hey, we look like we ain't cold, but we are cold.
You know what I mean? I'm not mad at it. Did y'all – so what was the – when it was cold weather games, did y'all always practice outside, or was it just on cold weather games y'all knew y'all were practicing outside to prepare yourselves for it?
We had a beautiful indoor facility called the Walter Payton Center. It's beautiful. Named after the greatest of all time. And – We never used it. Lovey always be like, we're going outside. That's how bear weather came about, because, you know, we'd look outside, you know, after meetings and be like, damn, we got to go out here in this. Like, damn, it's only Tuesday. It's only Monday. We got to go out here and have a walkthrough in this. Or it's only Wednesday. Like, we got to go out here and practice in this. And you're like, damn, we can go inside. Like, why do we have to be outside? And, you know, Lovey's from Texas. So you're like, I know he's cold. I don't care if he's got two Scully hats on, two pair of gloves on. We know he's cold, but he would always say, hey guys, we're going outside. It's bare weather, guys. We're going outside. And we should be like, man, we got a nice dome right there, but we're sitting out here. And it was bad. Like, I mean, we used to have, you know, down at Soldier Field, they had little heaters and stuff like that. But I can remember they used to have we used to be huddled around the heater, right? Like we were a singing group. You know, in the wintertime, like we were singing a cappella, like heated around like a trash can on fire. You know, it used to be so cold at practice, man. Like it was crazy. But it did help us, you know, get acclimated to what we were going to face on Sunday. But I can tell you this, at practice, it was sleeves. I was wearing sleeves. Like, hey, I'm going to deal with that on Sunday. But today I'm wearing sleeves.
Hey, wasn't no cameras in there. Couldn't nobody see y'all.
We had a couple of guys go out there, you know, wearing shorts and no sleeves, but
it was Olin. You can say it was Olin.
Come Sunday, my nose stopped up. I don't matter. You better get out there. Better get some Vapo Rub. You better get out there.
Hey, the Vapo Rub will keep you warm. I've always wondered this too, I swear, like, it makes no sense, because we do this in construction where we'll build a heated tent, because you got to work outside, right? Mm-hmm. So you work in outside in the elements. You're going out there. Like, you can layer up as much as you want. You out there. But we would like have a tent that was just like it was heated inside. Like, you'd have heaters blow in the tent.
Yeah.
And it can be open on one side because you're blowing heat into the tent. So you can still see everybody on the sideline. I was like, who's watching? Why won't they get a player's tents, man, to warm themselves up in?
Yeah. Hey, the only tent on the sideline is a tent you don't want to be in because you got injured.
Oh yeah.
Man, so it's but the cool thing now is like the heated benches that they have is way better than what we have. And obviously I'm not complaining. You know, stuff gets better. Like, I'm happy that things are getting better for the players. Like, you know, the safety in terms of the player's safety is getting better. So, you know, I'm not complaining, but it's pretty cool, like, the technology that they have. Like, you know, and I'm on the sideline. So, before the game, when I'm out there hanging out, talking to the guys before the game, walking around the field.
You're sitting on the bench.
I sit on the bench. I sit there, and you know, they got the little hand space. You put your hands in there. It's pretty cool, man. And even the where you put your feet. It's an elevated platform that has holes in it, and it shoots heat up. So, you know, back in the day, you're like, man, my toes is freezing. Like, man, somebody step on my big toe, I'm coming out the game. You know what I'm saying? But now your feet, I swear, Pat, the worst thing is, right, people talk about, well, in the cold, did it hurt to get hit? It hurt more to get your toe stepped on. You know, you get one of them big linemen, you're in the huddle, and they step on your toe. Boy, like Fred Miller, if Fred Miller steps on your toe, you coming out for three or four plays, period. Like, what's wrong? Did you get hit? No, my toe.
Hey, hey, listen, the feet are the first to go, man. I'm telling you, I've been in these elements. I worked construction. When your feet go, the rest of your day is miserable. J-Mac, I will promise you, there is nothing that will make a construction worker spend money quicker. And I'm talking, you dropping, if you care about your feet, $300-$400 on some boots.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Then having an 8-hour day where you get to hour two.
Yeah.
And that toe start getting cold.
And I did that this year, man. Being on the sideline, I bought me some boots and I'm like, dang, I just spent this much on some boots. But guess what? I felt great. I was like curling my toes up in my boots, Pat. Who's on this drive? What's going on? I got my toes curled up. We winning.
Hey, all the blue collar guys listening in, man, comment in the chat. You know exactly what you start doing too. When your feet warm, you can survive anything. Then right. Now you out there talking trash. Oh, brother, you got to get you some boots. We got to work today, baby. We got stuff to do.
Your feet and your fingers, bro. Like, I mean, it's been so cold at games, and you know we're in. I mean, you know, I'm in the thick of it. You know, I'm in the trenches. I'm in the real. You know. Like, I always tease the wide receivers, like, man, y'all not even playing football. Like, y'all are away from the action. You catch the ball, you fall down. Like, we're in the heat of it. Like, we're fighting. We're battling.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, when them hands go, Pat, I mean, you're blocking people. You don't even like, you don't even feel like your hands on somebody. Like it was crazy, man. Like I look back now and I look back at the elements and I watch the games now. I'm like, man, you know what? I'm like, how are they playing in that cold weather? Like, how are they doing that? How are they playing? How are they playing in this cold weather?
Hey, y'all should see J-Mac on the sidelines now, dog. He got the full length coat on. He got the hand warmers in the pockets.
Hey, our equipment manager Tony Medlin will walk past.
T-Med.
He'd be like, J-Mac, you good? You good? I said, yeah, T-Med, you want to give me some of them gloves, T-Med. All right, you know I got you, big guy. You know I got you.
Love Tony, man. Shout out T-Med. Yeah. I want to get him on here to tell some stories one day. I ain't gonna lie. T-Med gotta have a billion stories.
T-Med will never come on here, ever. T-Med will, like, after the game, me and T-Med are talking, he'll tell me a lot of stories in or right, you know, after the game, he'll tell me a lot of stories. He'll say, hey, remember this, remember that, and stuff like that. But in terms of the camera, T-Med likes to be behind the scenes. But you know what? The way you bait T-Med to come on this is we'd have to be at Hallis and we'd have to do like a tour of his new equipment room. Because like because this past offseason, right? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
I'm here for it.
This past offseason, Pat, they bring the alumni back every year for like a practice, right? So they brought the alumni back and they give you a tour. So, you know, I've obviously been to Hallis a bunch of times, and there's certain parts that I haven't really seen. So they took us on a tour, right? And T-Med, he comes up, he stops the tour, right? I'm like, T-Med, you're not even a part of this tour. Like, what are you doing? He stops the tour. He's like, guys, hey, man, come on. I want to show you MySpace, right? So we skip past the brand new, beautiful locker room they have, walk past it, didn't get a chance to look at it. He brings us to his space, right? And I ain't gonna lie, T-Med's got it. He's got it set up, man. Like, I mean, when you go into the Bears equipment room now, it's like you're at like a finish line or athlete's foot. I mean, they got the mannequin set up with the helmet, the jersey. You know what I'm saying? They've got the mannequin hands with all the different glove combinations you have. I mean, they got the hands like this with the Bear logo in front of it. I mean, they got all the cleats and layout and like everything, the hats that you can get. And I remember being there. And I remember sitting there, and me and Rasheed Davis were looking at each other. And he knows what I'm thinking. He's like, J-Mac's pissed. He's mad. And I ain't gonna lie, I was hating to the fullest. I was mad. And I told T-Man, I said, T-Man, I'll rip all this stuff off the wall. I said, I'll rip everything down here because we ain't have that. So I was hating. I was jealous. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is crazy. And they even have a machine, Pat, to where you can stand on a machine, and they take, like, a scan of your body, and it kind of tells them, like, your layout. Like if you're playing a video game, like your loadout, like your layout of what suggested you should wear. And if they don't have it, he said that colleges have this machine now, and the colleges can send your layout to the pro team, and then they can just incorporate what you had. I'm like, man, so as many times y'all done gave me the wrong cleats, the wrong size out there, you know, big toe hurt because it's cold and because it's a size too small. It's crazy the technology these players have now, man. It's crazy.
T-Man used to be messing y'all up, dog. Y'all be having the wrong jersey number on out there. Be like, that's hey. Matt Forte looking a little bulkier today. I don't know what's going on with that.
Hey, T-Med, man, that whole staff, T-Med and Carl Pekarski, we call them Hyde. Daryl McGee, who's the assistant to Tony Medlin, them guys are awesome. They're still awesome, man. They do a lot, even for me now, for my kids at the school. Like, I love them guys. But T-Med, the one thing that T-Med will not let you do, right? You know, back then they had the jersey exchange and stuff like that. So here's my biggest beef now. And I know times have changed. When I played, we didn't do the jersey exchange. And I would have loved to have done it because in my basement, I have all the jerseys of my teammates. They're all signed, you know, stuff like that. Some guys who I played against, but I had to go like buy those jerseys. They weren't the game worn jerseys. Like I couldn't, you know, if I could have swapped jerseys after the game, I would have no jerseys because I would swap every game. But if you tried to take your jersey after a game, like if you came in and you tried to take your jersey off your shoulder pads, and we had some guys try to do it, and I ain't gonna, you know, drop their name, but he would go crazy. He'd run over to your locker and say, hey, don't steal from me now. And you're like, T-Med, this is my jersey. Don't steal from me now. Like that's a big no-no with T-Med, man. He was not having it.
Now that you mentioned it, I don't think I've really seen a Bears player swap jerseys. Like, I'm trying to think, maybe Justin did one, but I don't think I've really seen the Bears have a player. Now, maybe that goes to past couple of years, and that's not having a ton of players that people wanted to swap jerseys with. But I mean, I like, that's such an interesting I guess that kind of makes sense. T-Man probably still ain't letting them must take their jerseys.
I'm sure. I mean, they switched. I'm right there. So, I mean, they're all switching jerseys.
Which they do it now? I don't know if I've seen one. I ain't seen one on TV that I remember.
Yeah, a lot of times when I'm interviewing the guys, I'm waiting because they're swapping the jerseys. They're taking the picture next to them. I'm in my head, you know me. I'm hating. I don't care. I'm mad because I'm like, dang, this is cool. I'm looking at them swapping jerseys. Like, damn. Like, they getting that jersey, man. I want that jersey too, man. You want my jersey? I know it's retired. You want that? Let's swap, man. I think next year I may bring some of my jerseys and try to swap.
You bringing them up there?
Yeah.
Hey, man. You gotta bring them up there and just be like, hey, listen, this is not a replica. This is game worn, baby. Here you go. Let's get it. Yeah, man. No, we got some good ones out there. I love the fact that this stadium got the update that it is getting the update that it's getting. I'm glad that we're kind of, not to say that we're moving past the bear weather thing, but it's just it's something that hasn't worked in our favor. I see more positives, especially on the football field, from seeing a team that is willing to play in a dome. And we know the type of grass turf combinations that they put in there now. You're moving faster. You're cutting better. I just think that it's all in benefit to the players. It excites me about the time that we have in Chicago and where this team is really heading towards. And I think it really shows a vision, not just on the team, which I think is very different. I think that you guys had a team where the vision was Super Bowl from a team aspect. But now it feels like, no, it's not just Super Bowl. It's greatness from every level that we can be at. George, got to be great. That peanut.
No, he said it'll be on at 4:45.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what that was.
No, you good. Give it a little cut right there.
Can you see me? I don't know what. Okay, there it is.
Damn. Yeah, I see you. All right. But no, I just think, speaking from an organizational standpoint, it feels like from top to bottom, the Bears are chasing greatness. And that's a difference to me. And I think that does start, and we can keep this thing moving along, man. Let us know how you guys feel about the stadium down below. Let us know your thoughts on this whole thing, this whole process. Do you like it? Do you dislike it? Most of the people that I've seen dislike it are like, what is this going to cost me in taxes, bro? I feel you on that. I feel you on that.
100%, man. I mean, hey.
The part that sucks is I'm like, I mean, the mayor not going nowhere. He going to impose the tax. We paying the taxes no matter what. Like, right. I might as well enjoy the stadium because of
it. Yeah, I mean, hey, we're going to pay. We're already paying. It's already expensive enough, living here. But, I think, I mean, overall, like, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. You know, I hope it gets done sooner than later so that we can start enjoying it and enhancing the overall fan experience, enhancing the overall game day experience. The players, I think the experience would be great. And it's going to be exciting, man. Like, imagine, like, having the opportunity to be able to, you know, bid and possibly host the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, we lose all those opportunities. And every year we watch these other cities that aren't great as great as Chicago. We lose those opportunities because we don't have the facilities to be able to provide that type of infrastructure that they need to host these events. But now being able to, you know, like you said, like, you know, different artists and being able to have a residency here, not just for 3 days, but possibly 20 days. Fine. Like, I mean, that's crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine, like, Drake and Kendrick Lamar here for 20 days battling? You know what I'm saying? Like,
they just both dissing J. Cole at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying Drake and Kendrick having a face off here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I'm buying the ticket for all 20 days of that. You know what I mean? So it's just creating opportunities like that you can't right now. You know, imagine having the Big Ten championship here and you're a basketball guy, like, you know, you're selling out because it's Chicago. Like, let's keep it real, right? And I'm a little biased. You know, I'm not a Colts fan. I hate the Colts. I have my reasons, but
I respect that.
You know, would you rather go watch the Big Ten championship in Indianapolis? Would you rather come to Chicago? Drop your comments in the chat and you pick. You let me know.
And we got the advantage. We have the former Big Ten president as the president of our team. Of course he wants the Big Ten championship.
Right, let us know,
I think that's the first event we get.
Yeah.
Like, realistically speaking, Concerts are going to be there, all of that stuff. You know we're going to have that. But, like, I think the first major event we get, I'd say the second they cut the ribbon, the new Big Ten president is just like, hey, so when are we moving 100%, in? Because-
like, I mean, 100%, man. You can have, I mean, basketball Big Ten, the football Big Ten. I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, really, like, drop what you guys think in the chat. You want to go to Indy or do you want to go to Chicago? Like, we didn't got to take a poll, Pat. Come on now. We didn't got to take a poll like that.
If anybody says Indy, I'm not going to lie. I'm just like, you in Indy, ain't you? You must live right there. You're going to
say that because, you know, they're always going to say something. J-Mac's an idiot because Indianapolis is the greatest city in the United States. You know how it goes. I respect all opinions, but let's keep it real, guys.
Let me ask you this, right? Like, I guess when you look at the job that Kevin Warren has done, mm-hmm. and now we're seeing the renderings, all of that stuff, do you feel like this is a success in his first year as the Bears president? Is this something that you view as successful, or is it like this is the best case scenario because Arlington fell through?
No, I think it's a success. I think when you look at Arlington, this is my opinion. I think, you know, looking at Arlington and how long and you know, how detailed and how meticulous in which the manner he presented this, right, how delayed it was, you can tell that he really exhausted and examined every option. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Well, let's go buy this land. You know what I mean? Oh, we don't want this land. It did fall through. But when he looked at it, he said, okay, I think when he looked at it and said Arlington Heights, right, we're going to lose the ambiance of the city. We're going to lose the essence of what it means to be a sports team here in Chicago. You know what I mean? And I get it. Arlington, you have more space, the parking and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, Chicago Bears, right, playing in Arlington Heights, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just and it's something about when you're in the city and you're going to the game, or you're leaving the game and being downtown and seeing that lakefront, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's awesome. I mean, even the teams we play against, right? The opponents we play against, right? When a lot of guys that I know that played on other teams, and they'd always say, man, I can't wait to come play you guys, right? One, we get to play you, but two, we get to come to Chicago. Like, Chicago is really a destination, not just for the people here, but it's such a great city for people elsewhere. You know, I had a coach come by the school yesterday, and he was a quarterback, and he got named Graham Harrell, and he's the offensive coordinator for Purdue, and he actually played for the Packers. He backed up Aaron Rodgers back in 2010. That's the year they won the Super Bowl, right? 2010.
Yes,
because he was on that team, and he said that a lot of the guys, he said what they did was when they were in Green Bay, he said they used to drive down to Milwaukee, and they would take the train from Milwaukee to Chicago, and they would go to hockey games, or they would go to Cubs games, because they all love the city of Chicago. And, you know, Green Bay, where they're at, didn't have none of that stuff. You know what I mean? So that's just like the attraction of having the stadium down on the lakefront at Soldier Field. Like, it's just the ambiance. I mean, what it creates is just, you can't get that nowhere else. I mean, SoFi is a beautiful stadium, but when you leave SoFi, like, it's, I mean, you're not like right downtown LA. You're still a ways from downtown. You know,
yeah, that's how most of these stadiums are. I mean, neither New York team plays in New York. Texas, the Cowboys play in Arlington, Texas, I believe.
Yeah, you're not in Dallas.
You're not in Dallas. You know what I mean? I guess San Francisco moved their stadium. San Diego's not even a team, don't even have a team anymore. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're in Los Angeles, but like it's Chicago is special in that sense, and I think a lot of us were ready to move on from the stadium being in Chicago because, and listen, I'm still skeptical. I'm still trying to figure out where. I get it. There's a plan on how parking works. Yeah, 290 been shut down. A section of 290 been shut down for me since I moved out here, J-Mac. Right. I got married out here 10 years ago almost. You know what I mean? Like there's been a section shut down.
Yeah, there's been construction going on. On all the highway 94, I got to Chicago in 2003, and they've been doing construction on 94 since then, bro. and then when they say they're done with construction, you're like, well, what did they do? It looks the same. Like, what did they do?
Hey, it's flat.
They change.
That's all that mug be. It just be flat. You be like, well, it ride nice. I guess this is nice. Have you?
Yeah.
Hey, there, I will say this. Chicago gets an experience that almost no other city gets, I would bet, is when you get a road that actually reopens up. It's almost a little like drugs, bro. You be like, oh, this is nice. Hold on. Now I gotta take this road more often. Yeah, I'm going to be down here every day.
You're right. Because these potholes here, man, is ridiculous. Man. Oh, my goodness, man. You need a tank in Chicago to drive. Like, you need a tank, bro. Like, because these potholes just, man, it's crazy, man. But, yeah, I was going to ask you, Pat. I want to ask you. So, I know last week we did our mock draft. And, I saw in the comments, people are like, oh, they're trading down. They're doing this. Why are they doing that? And now, like, everybody's like, oh, we should trade down. Or, you know, if they're not saying the receiver, right? And everybody, the consensus is Romo Dunze.
Yeah.
You know, Caleb's been tweeting and stuff like that. We're on the plane and all this stuff. And then if they're like, if we don't get Rome, trade down, right? We said that last week. We were talking about it last week, trade down. There's so many good players, right, that'll obviously be available at 9. But if you can still get the player that you wanted, that you would have got at 9, trade down and maybe get an extra pick or two. Why not do that? I mean, it's just I just think it's setting up that way. And, you know, we had we had our round table yesterday, and, you know, everybody picked Rome. Courtney picked Rome. Romo Dunze, you know, everybody else picked Rome. I think Peggy Kaczynski said she wanted to trade up and get Marvin Harrison. And then I'm the only one that said I want to trade down and grab an offensive lineman, a left tackle in particular. So, you know, my thoughts, I'm asking you, has there been a change of heart for you from last week when we did our mock draft and we both, our mock draft, me and you were the GMs, you know, you can be Ryan Poles, I'll be Ian Cunningham. But you were Poles, I was Ian, and you talked about, hey, we're going to trade down, and we made it, and we drafted, who we picked? Olu Fashanu, right?
I want to say, I think we have it on here. Let's see, we still got the mock draft results Olu on Fashanu. Here. Yeah, this is our mock draft right here. Got a good grade on it too. Traded down, end up coming away with Fashanu. Took Leggett in the second round at pick 46. Third round, you got to 75. Took Austin Booker. Fourth round, 122. Took Gabriel Murphy. I was excited about getting him. I know PFF was like a little high, but I think he's going to be a dog in a league. Am I still in on trading down to add more picks?
Yeah. Did you change? Do you have a change of heart from what we did last week on this mock?
I don't know if I've had a change of heart. I think that the real Ryan Poles, not me, right, is kind of envisioning a Kansas City Chiefs scenario here or a Miami Dolphins scenario where you look everywhere and for the long term of your team, you've got wide receivers and running backs and tight ends out the wazoo. I think that you can trade back and still get some really good value. But when you hear a lot of things about Romo Dunze, I just think that Ryan Poles won't look to do that. For me, if I was the GM, it would be tough for me to see the amount of talent that's going to come off the board between 9 and 75
front camera
right, if we don't make this trade, we're at 9 and then you got 75. It's tough for me to see that much talent come off the board and you go get none of it. Now I'm not sitting here in the draft room with them, though. I'm not sitting here in the right breaking down each individual player group. I'm looking at the guys that I think fit best with the Bears. I'm looking at some guys trying to find some sleepers.
Y'all tell me what y'all want to do. Right,
Ryan Poles is evaluating 600 plus players, as including undrafted guys. I think when you start to do stuff like that, you get to a point where you end up finding a guy in that third round that you feel more comfortable going out there and adding, right? You end up finding a guy in that fourth round that you feel more comfortable adding. And so because of that, I think Ryan may actually stay at 9, take best player available, and then try his hand at maybe getting higher in the round, maybe combining some picks, using that third round pick to try and get back into maybe a little bit higher if there's somebody on the list that he sees. But I think for the most part, man, he said it in the press conference the other day. He's content at where he's at. He really is. And so,
yeah, I mean, but the thing, keep in mind though.
Yeah. Other
teams watch the press conference. They're trying to find clues. They're trying to find different things that they can use to enhance their strategy. So, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, if he stays at 9, it's going to be with a player they wanted at that pick. Yeah. But, you know, he can just be saying things to make teams think that, you know, they're going to, you know, trade the pick or not trade the pick, but pick at nine instead of trading down. So it's going to be good. I'm excited to see it, man. I think it's going to be awesome. You know, either way, we're going to get better. And that's the main thing that we want from a Bears organization. We just want to get better. We've taken steps each and every year. This roster has changed dramatically since Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham have been leading the charge in evaluations and adding players, and they've done a great job. Yeah, Pina, thanks for joining the show, man. We know you're busy. Talk about life right now. Tell the Bears fans, you know, what Pina Charles Tillman has been up to. I know you got a podcast that you've been doing. Talk about, you know, life as Pina Tillman right now after retirement.
Yeah, man, I've just been chilling. Being a dad, being an Uber for all my kids really is what I've been doing. I was with Izzy the other day helping him out with his thing. Got my podcast, NFL Player Second Acts podcast, myself, yeah. Roman mm-hmm. Harper. You know, we mm. travel to a lot of the NFL sporting events, Combine, Draft, Super Bowl. And we really just – the podcast focuses on former players in their second acts post-football. Mm-hmm. And you hear a lot of amazing stories about, you know, what we go through as players – just trying to find our next niche in life after football. You know, some people become doctors, some people become coaches, some people just become, you know, homemakers, and just they're the ones that stay home and take care of the kids. So they do a lot of amazing things. A lot of guys go back to school, get their education, business. You know, there's tons of opportunities for us, the players, when we retire, and it's really fascinating to see how we get to where we got. You know, it's really good. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I'm a big fan of the podcast. I'm a big fan of how you've really gone about telling these people's stories, telling different players' stories. What does it mean to you to be kind of the conduit of those stories getting out to the masses? Because I've learned so much about kind of how players spent their time on the field, but now how it translates off the field by listening to you.
I feel honored, honestly, man. I feel like a black male Barbara Walters kind of, you know, having the opportunity to tell these stories. You know, some of these stories are real deep, man. I don't think people understand how real the struggle is, you know, when a player retires. You got to understand this particular person, this individual has been doing this specific task of playing football. A lot of guys play at the Pop Warner level. They might play in the league 5 or 6 years, but they've already been playing football 15 years. So when they get done, it's kind of a journey of them rediscovering themselves. And Roman and I, we just try to get them to be vulnerable in a sense to what they want to share and just talk about how they got to where they are, what they're doing now. And a lot of the time, there are some struggles, and you know, on the flip side, guys do amazing things, and it took them to retire to figure out, wow, you know what? I never thought this, but I really enjoy baking. This is my new jam. Like, I love baking. Mm-hmm. I love being a head coach. I love being in business. I love owning my own business. I love, you know, going to school and learning, and, you know, there's so many different avenues that we take, and it truly is. I mean, I feel truly honored to tell these stories.
Yeah, Peter, talk about your upbringing. You know, your father was in the Army. You know, you grew up on military bases. You know, how did your military upbringing shape you as a person and as a football player?
I think it shaped me just for discipline, man. You're nothing without discipline. And, you know, I pride myself on discipline. I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have the discipline that my moms and my pops instilled in me, but not just some coaches and stuff. You know, I'm from Texas. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I think Texas is king of football, and they did a really good job. My high school in Copper Cove, Texas, did a really good job of teaching me the fundamentals of football at the core level. And I took that with me to college and learned a couple more things. And then obviously getting to the league, I just kind of built on that, and that really is the foundation of what you saw when I came to Chicago.
For the people who can see the video, they get to see how much you enjoy having fun and being silly, though. You have that discipline. How did you grow up balancing that discipline with hey, I still know when to have a good time, especially, and I think this came through, right? You were one of the best DBs in Chicago Bears history, bar none, in NFL history as well. But also, you could always tell that you enjoyed what you were doing, that you were having a great time on the football field.
Yeah, I would always pinch myself and be like, damn, I'm playing football. Like I'm playing a kid's game and I'm making decent money doing it. I love it. I had fun. I mean, J-Mac could tell you, I'll make a joke out of anything. I can make a joke out of funeral.
I told you, Pat. I told you.
Like I could, like people, I think that's why people, when I'm put in a leadership position, people never take me serious. Cause it's like, oh, this brother right here, ain't, I can't take Peanut serious. Like he gonna find a way to make a joke about something, but that's just who I am. That's my spirit, man. I love to laugh. I love making people laugh. I will say though, it has gotten me in trouble, like knowing when, all right, I might've went a little bit too far with that joke. So I being an adult now, later in life, I've really learned to just like, all right, I gotta chill out right now. I think this is not the right time to do that. If I'm reading the room properly, yeah, I gotta take a step back. But 99% of the time, I'm gonna find a way to make a joke about something. And I don't, somebody could have just died. Somebody could have a wedding. It could be a beautiful, a baby just got baptized. Like I can find a joke about something.
You think that baby can swim?
Yeah. Like I'm that guy. They'd be like, man, why did Peanut just say that? Why I can't Peanut gon' peanut. I know he would say something dumb like that. Like that's just who I am.
Yeah,
it's Peanut. It's all in good fun.
And like you hear Peanut talking about him joking. He was like that off the field, but it's funny because you hear Peanut, he's joking and stuff like that off the field. But when he got on the field, he's a complete dog. And we talk about the Peanut punch and all that stuff. The NFL, you know, they coined that fundamental, that term after Peanut. Now I got a two-part question, right? NIL has come about in college and stuff like that. They coined the phrase, NFL coined the phrase, the Peanut punch. How much NIL money does the NFL owe you for that? And how did you develop that Peanut punch technique?
Bruh, I mean, I should have got paid about 5-10 years ago.
I'm telling you.
I've lost millions of dollars.
Yeah.
On a serious note though, I mean, my kids think it's the coolest thing that I've been retired since 2016 and my kids are like, Dad, they still talk about you. So my kids think it's, when I played, they didn't really know, but now I got a, you know, my kids are young adults, you know, and they're very much like, dang, my dad has his own move. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, I wish I would have played later as they were older so they could have really enjoyed and watched me play the game. I really enjoy the fact that I left my mark on football. I did everything. I went out there and the thing that I love is when people talk about Peanut or myself, I don't want to talk in third person. When people talk about
me. Go for a rock on this, dog. Go for a rock.
Yeah. I left my mark. I did everything I was supposed to do. You know, I didn't go to the big fancy school. And I hope my story can resonate with a lot of kids out there who like, man, I didn't go to the LSU. I didn't go to the Floridas, the Alabamas, the Georgias. I didn't go to an SEC school. But yet I was able to do any and everything all those players at all those big schools did and some, right? So, yeah, that's me leaving my mark on football. And I'm happy with how things came out. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, it's a move that you hear every single Sunday that everybody is reminded about who you are. Like, that's got to be one of the coolest things in the world. And I think, to me, right, seeing this offseason where two of your former teammates, going into the Hall of Fame in Devin Hester and Julius Peppers, in my book, there are two names that have to go next. You and Lance Briggs are the next two names on that list that have to get into the Hall of Fame, especially if every Sunday they're going to use your move as a name. Would you agree that your name deserves to be up for a gold jacket?
I mean, I think so. I believe it does, although it's not up to me.
Yeah.
I think the powers that be in time, whenever that time will, the right thing will happen. And I remember, I think Devin said, hey, man, it's in God's hands. Like, I've done everything I could do to leave my mark on the game and to leave it better than how I left it. And I just think in time, the right thing will happen.
Yeah, Pino, so back in 2003, I know I'm showing our age, the second round pick, the 35th pick overall by the Chicago Bears was Charles Tillman. So talk about your draft journey. You know, tomorrow a lot of these guys are going to have an opportunity to join the NFL fraternity. Talk about what it was like for you going through the draft process.
Oh, man. Back down memory lane. That draft process was great. I was in Cove. I was in Carpus Cove at the crib. I didn't have a lot of people. I didn't have like a real big party. And I just remember the end of the first round went and my phone rang. My stepmom picked it up and she picked up the phone and kind of was like jumping around. Was like, oh, shut up, and gave me the phone. And now that she gave me the phone, I remember it was Jerry Angelo on the phone, and he was like, hi, we talk a little bit. I'm Jerry Angelo, general manager of Chicago Bears, blah, 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 blah. Congratulations. We're taking you with our next pick. You're a Chicago Bear. And I didn't say nothing. I just sat there and was like, holy shit. He just said, I'm a Chicago Bear. And then a half a second later went, doom, 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 doom. And the ticker went current selection. And then my name, and then my entire house, or the people in my house, it was a two-bedroom townhouse, a little tiny crib. It was like a little earthquake in Central Texas. Like, my whole house shook. And everyone's yelling, screaming. I cried a tear of joy. Like, man, it really happened. All that dedication, commitment, hard work, pulling this sled, working out two-a-days, you know, making the tough decision. Like, I want to go to this party, but I got to study. I got to do, you know, like, all that stuff paid off, and it worked out great.
When you envision, or I guess when you think back to that time in your life, what would you say to all of these young guys who are coming into an entirely new situation of, this ain't college no more. You've got an entire city behind you that is going to rally for you for the highs, and they're going to be on your tail for the lows.
Yeah.
What would you say that it means to be a Chicago Bear to these young guys if you were to speak to them?
It means everything, man. The people in this city have been yearning for a champ or Super Bowl for a really long time. But more than anything, my advice to all the guys in every city, just humble yourself. It's just like going back to high school. When you were in high school, you had to prove it that you was a man. And when you just humble yourself. So don't be in there talking about, well, I ain't going to do this, and I'm not going to. It's not about the hazing, man. It's just, you're coming into another establishment, another business, and you're working with grown men. Yeah, they might make you buy some donuts or, you know, a little dumb stuff, but no one's really trying to touch you or put hands on you. Just humble yourself and show respect, and you'll gain that respect. But if you really want to gain the respect of your fellow teammates, go out there and let them know you can play. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. Are you a guy that can help me win? Can you help us win? By all means, man, you can be who you are. Just help me win games. And I think if all the players do that, just humble themselves, go in humbly, I don't care what team you go to. You could even be going to that green team across the border. They'd even appreciate that. Just humble yourself.
The fact that the video started working. Don't move. Now you just still. That's okay. We're all still moving. We're all still moving, Peanut. Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Bruh.
Can you hear us, Peanut?
His video started working, and now he can't hear us.
Peanut, can you hear us? Oh, you typed it in there.
Yeah.
Hello?
Peanut, can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Yeah. I'm not moving anymore. I don't know what happened.
You're moving. We got you.
You're
man.
Moving for us.
We got you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we'll figure it out later. We'll figure out the logistics of it. This has been amazing.
I got another question. And I know you talked about you being able to with your podcast, the Player's Second Act podcast. So make sure you guys tune in. Peanut and Roma Harper do a great job. Make amazing. Sure you subscribe, tune in. You talk about the opportunity to be able to go to different events and interview different guys. I want to talk to you about, have you had the opportunity to meet Caleb Williams? And what do you think about him as a player and potential quarterback leading this franchise?
No, I haven't met him. Excited to meet him. I'm sure I will at some point. And yeah, I'm excited that let's just say he's coming to Chicago. I think he's very articulate when how he speaks and how he forms his answers. I think he's very intentional about what he says and how he says it. And I watched the Pivot interview that he did with RC and him on the show, and I like him even more now. I just think he's a guy who's been primed to be in this position. He's a guy, unlike a lot of other players like myself, like I feel like I was primed for it, but my path was a lot different than his. He's kind of, I don't want to call him the Messiah, but the way he's been kind of raised and the positions and stuff that he's, the positions that he's been put in has really put him in a place to be the number one pick, to be a Heisman Trophy winner, to be in a major metropolitan area leading a major organization to numerous wins over the next decade plus. He's the right guy.
It's so interesting, right, when you hear him talk, the confidence that he has, what he's going after, what he's trying to accomplish. Did you have any of that coming in where you were like, hey, I'm looking at this guy. This is a guy who I want to be able to accomplish as much as he did, where Caleb's like, I'm chasing 12. Y'all already know who I'm going after.
Yeah. No, I don't think I had a guy. I didn't have a guy particularly that I wanted to chase. I just got to get on the field first. How can I get on the field? Okay, I got to work special teams. All right, I got to kill special teams to get on the field. Once I kill special teams, they'll know I'm ready to play. Okay, when I get my third down nickel back play, I got to make a play so I can start. I want to start. And by the fourth game, I started, and I was greedy. You know, I saw that movie Wall Street, Gordon Gecko or Gecko. Yeah. Greed is good, and I was greedy. I wanted to start, and I started my fourth game, and I never gave it back. Because I enjoyed it. I wanted that pressure. I wanted the Randy Moss game. Hey, Peanut, go lock him down or go cover him. Like I wanted those battles. I wanted that competition. I'm a firm believer in competition brings out the best in everybody, whether it's in sports, whether it's YouTube battling somebody else in another podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just it's just who we are as people. And I love competition. I never shy away from it. You know, two things are going to happen. Either you win and you get better, or you lose and you figure out what you did wrong, make corrections to that mistake, and you get better the next time and destroy that person who you went against.
Yeah, and you know, with Peanut, like as many Peanut punches that you saw on Sunday, there was three times the amount that you saw in practice. And, you know, Peanut was always working at his craft. I mean, I've been victimized a bunch of times. Thomas Jones, you know, he used to hate the Peanut punch. He was a victim of it. But yeah, Peanut, talking about, you know, going back to the draft, you know, we know what the Bears are probably going to do with the number one pick. I want to get your view on what you think they should do with the ninth pick in the draft. A lot of people say trade down. Some say take the receiver out of Washington, Romo Dunze. What would you do if you were the GM of the Bears and you had that ninth pick?
Ah, man, I think you go get a receiver. I think you go get a young stud receiver, and you can have a quarterback receiver combo for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, you're getting them as rookies, and they can really develop and grow their chemistry over that time, and that would be great to see. You know, someone said it the other day, you know, I know they picked up Keenan, but next year he'll be, you know, 30-plus. You'll have to pay him $23 million or something like that. Go out, get you a rookie. And that's not a knock on Keenan to say that he's too old. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying at football, we know it's a business. So take the younger guy. He can give you 4 great years, you know, with a number 9 pick. And those are four great years that your quarterback and your receiver can develop even more chemistry.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about the impact that could be had on defense as well. While the receiver is there, everybody is talking about you got to find somebody to put opposite Montez Sweat. You being behind a dominant defensive line that we were able to have here in Chicago, what does it mean to make your life easier? What does that defensive line mean to you as the lead guy in that unit when you know there's pressure coming, I can play a certain way?
It gives you even more confidence, you know. I know I don't have to – if I have the tough assignment of covering the team's number one receiver, I know I don't have to cover that long when I have a dope D-line. Yeah. You know, those guys coming off the rock. Man, I got to cover 2.5-3 seconds max because they getting off the rock. Like Pep, Izzy, Dub, Black, Lance, Wale, A.B., Nick Roach, Pisa Tinui Samoa, Tank, Tom, like I could go my whole defense, man, Big Toe. Like I was great. Pep, I had it easy. I had it easy because them guys knew they needed sacks because the attitude was like, yo, Peanut is covering the number one receiver. I can't leave him out there alone. I got to do my job and I got to get him some help. And yeah, it was vice versa when they had a really good quarterback. You know what? I got to help my D-line out. I got to cover 2 seconds more so I can buy my D-line a little bit more time. When you have a D-line that says, I got to go get this guy on the ground because I don't want my DBs covering that long. And then when you got DBs saying, look, I got to cover a little bit longer because I need to buy my D-line a little bit more time to get to the quarterback. That's when you know you have a great defense.
Yeah, I got another question. So, Jalen Johnson wore the same number. He's actually switching his number to number one this year, but just evaluate him as a player. He just got an extension. He wore the same number that you wore. I'm not saying he plays similarly, but he is the lead cornerback in that secondary. Talk about what you think about Jalen Johnson as a player.
I think his game has grown over the years, and hopefully it just continues to grow. I don't think the contract extension will change him. I don't think he'll be complacent. I know John Hoke, the DB coach, really great coach. He's a great teacher in the classroom. And I know more than any out of anybody, he's going to make sure Jalen comes to work every day ready to work. And I'm happy Jalen got the contract. He deserved it. You know, his play on the field the last couple of years has just only increased. And I'm really happy for him. I'm happy he changed the number one, so they're keeping that 33 open. But I have a feeling – whoever we draft, rookies, whoever, someone's going to take 33. Like I said, man, it's just a number. Somebody going to get it. I know they'll never retire it, but my kids think it's hilarious that somebody else wears it because it's like, Dad, why is he wearing your number? I'm like, guys, it's not my number. I don't own it. It's when he gives it up, somebody else will get it. Like it'll be somebody else's number. That's just what it is, guys.
Are you like Michael Irvin where you just like seeing your number still out there? Because every time I see 33 – I think of Peanut Tillman. He's like, everybody thinks of me when they see my number on the field.
Nah, I just want whoever wears it, I just want you to represent it. That's all I care about. Whoever wears it, offense, defense, just be the greatest at your position when you play it. That's all I care for and what I want.
But at least for Peanut, it's been somebody that plays his position. With me, like, they got a guy like a safety wearing 37. Like, he can't even fill out the number. Like,
you did have a kicker. I think you had a kicker last year.
At least he has a guy that played his position, you know, wearing his number for the most part. I look out there. I'm like, man, the punter's wearing 37. Like, come on, man.
Is a kicker crazy, Peanut? That's the craziest thing that you can have, craziest person you can have pick up the 33.
Yeah, or deep snapper or long snapper. Like, I can't do that.
They be doing my number dirty, Peanut.
That's what you got to call them. You got to call up the Alice and be like, hey, I got to get on.
What the F are you doing? Why are you got a long snapper with 33? What the F? Come on, man. What the Frank? What the hell is wrong with y'all?
Hey, Peanut, we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you rocking with us. Before we let you go, what is your feeling for this upcoming season? I'm not asking for numbers, wins, predictions, but what is your feeling for the Chicago Bears this upcoming season?
beat Green Bay. Take it back to the old school. Take it back to those Lovie Smith days. We got to own the division. And the way we do that is we got to own Green Bay. We haven't beat them in a really long time, probably since I retired. So we got to beat Green Bay, man. We got to go get our lunch money back.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely got it. It's it's very irritating. Yeah. It's very – if there's anything that you – we could lose a lot of games. Beat Green Bay, please. I ain't going to say that. That's it right there. Beat Green Bay.
That's the season right there. That's the season, man.
Let's go eat.
Let's go eat. I love it.
Thank you, man. Thanks for your time, man. I know you're busy. Love you, bro. And, you know, looking forward to seeing you keep crushing it, you know, in your retirement, man. We appreciate you.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good one, fellas.
Have a good one, Peanut. Right, appreciate you. Peanut. Ladies and gentlemen, Peanut Tillman, dominant DB for the Chicago Bears. Absolutely love having him on the show, man. The fact that the camera wasn't working. Eric is about to be going through a nightmare trying to edit this.
You almost want Eric E. just to leave it and just let him have his little screen.
Yes, bro. Yes. No, he can't take any of that out. Peanut. And we got to get him back on because I wanted to ask him about the laundry bin incident, but I ain't get a chance to because I remember the story.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. Like it's like, you know, you talk about like, you know, Peanut was one of the biggest jokesters and you had, you know, Anthony Spice Adams in that locker room. We had many guys like that had, they were great players, but they had dynamic personalities. And you know what I mean? And the bond that we had as teammates, you know, created a brotherhood for life. And, you know, that's why you see a lot of teams, you know, when guys retire, I haven't talked to this guy in forever. You know, like, you know, our kids, we know each other's kids and, you know, our kids have grown up with each other and we've grown up with each other as well. Like realistically, we were kids when we were playing this game, you know what I'm saying? So now, I mean, we've evolved into men and we keep in touch. So that's like when you have a special bond, when you have the type of locker room that we had, and I say it over and over again, that really helped us be successful. That helped us reach the Super Bowl. That helped us win an NFC championship. That helped us go to, you know, win the division in back-to-back seasons. Like when you have that type of bond and chemistry, that translates to wins and it translates to kicking Green Bay's ass as well, like Peanut said.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I think I've said this. I think at this point it's a mental hurdle for that team. Like the time and y'all kind of did this, right? That first year where the year you go to the Super Bowl, but like that last game of the season, I believe y'all end up coming close to beating Green Bay, but the confidence from it was like, oh, we got him. Oh, we start off next year, we got him. And y'all start the next season. I think y'all intercepted Brett Favre four times, which is not the most surprising thing in the world. But a million sacks, y'all ran the ball down their throat. All of a sudden, it was, we beat that. We slayed the dragon. And the rest was history. Like, I think this team is dealing with that mental struggle.
Yeah, 26-0 up at Lambeau. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just like he said, like, Peanut named all the guys on that defense. I mean, all those guys were tremendous players, great teammates. And on Sunday, you were going to feel them. Like, they were going to be out there. Like, they were coming. And we offensively, like, we played against, you know, the defense that we played against every day in practice was the best defense that we were going to see the entire year. So it really helped us offensively to go out there and to, you know, be able to operate at a high level because we weren't going to see a better defense than our own in practice each and every day. So it was awesome, man. It was great times, and I really do hope that, you know, the Bears can get back to the winning ways because, like you said, it doesn't matter what the Blackhawks are doing, the Sox, the Cubs, or whatever. And no disrespect to those franchises, but this is a Bears town. Period. They know it. Everybody knows it. And when the Bears are winning, it just enhances everything. Business is booming. Man. The bars is booming. The parties is booming. The champagne's popping. A little bit of the bubbly's being spread. You know, let's get back to that point, you know, and it starts tomorrow. It starts with the draft tomorrow. You know, I hope the Bears, Caleb, wish you the best. You know, we know hopefully you'll be here. You know, it's all speculation right now. And then after that, let's make sure we make the right picks to say whoever is under center, whoever is playing under center is going to be the guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Draft tomorrow. Just so much coming to this team and some impact pieces that I fully believe will be added. So can't wait to tune in tomorrow. I'll be at Soldier Field. So if y'all are going to be up there, come say what up to your boy. Going to be doing a draft day vlog. It's going to be Big Bardons out here. Stop playing with us. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be hyped tomorrow. I'm not going to lie. Tomorrow is an exciting day. And all of y'all, I want to come talk to me. Every single one of y'all who be talking reckless in the comments, if you going to be there, who be sitting there talking about, oh, now he's flipping and all of this, and now he's excited. Yeah, I'm a Bears fan. I'm excited. Like, yeah, I'm excited that Caleb Williams is coming here. All of y'all that talk crazy, come see me face to face. Come talk to me face to face, because I got your name saved. Hey, I know what you said.
Hey, you better have some security with you, man. Get you a bodyguard or something. But, yeah, I want to also give a shout-out to my man, Jeff Dickerson. I know we started the pod with that, but, you know, my guy who was a big mentor for me, you know, in this media game. A person who I looked up to, a great friend who was one of the best to ever do it here in Chicago covering the Bears. I know he would be excited with the renderings of the new stadium and the way that things are going for the Bears. I know he'd be excited about this draft. He would be at Soldier Field covering the Bears. So salute to my guy, Jeff Dickerson, man. Miss you, love you. And, you know, you're always with us, man.
Major love to JD, man. The voice of Bears news, the voice of Bears breakdown. For me growing up. So major love to JD.
Yeah.
I loved everything that he meant to this, not just the organization, but to this city. I mean, it was literally like, if JD didn't say it, I don't know. Yeah. Like everybody else had like a cornerstone, right? Like everybody, right? Shout out Big Z, Courtney, everybody else had their thing that they did for the NFC and for Chicago. But if JD said it, it was like, oh, he got it. Yeah, you got it. So big shout out to JD, man. Hey, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. A little bit of extra on this episode. If you're listening in on the podcast side, you got to come watch the interview. Come see it, because I can't explain to you how hilarious. Me and J-Mac were struggling to hold it together.
We can hold it in. We got to keep that on there. We got to keep that content on there.
Appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. As always, Bear Dine. See you guys tomorrow, man. Draft is on the way. Get it right, Ryan. Peace.